from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Ron Coomer on deck.
And Ronnie's been red hot. He's been in the zone.
Ron Coomer.
Let's see if the Cubs can respond.
We're helping him out.
Coomer drives one into right center field. Long run, Pierre. Pierre dives, misses it. It bounces all the way to the wall.
That's a nice knock for the old hometown boy, isn't it?
Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
What a ball game. The wait is over. Right? It is over. The Cubs are World Series champions. How does that sound, partner?
1999 American League All-Star.
From the American League All-Stars. Infielder Ron Coomer.
The Coom Dog with Mully and Haw.
Woohoo!
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Marshall Harris in this morning for David, who's enjoying a day off. And we are delighted to talk to one of God's great men. He is, of course, Ron Coomer. He joins us on The Score Hotline. Ron, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mikey. Marshall, how are you boys doing this morning?
We are living the dream, and we keep hoping for a big turnaround here. I know the trade deadline right around the corner, and we've been told there's no help on the way. But where there is life, there is hope. Is there hope left for the Cubs despite the lack of runs, Ron?
Yeah, there's definitely hope. There's no doubt. It's, you know, because when you've seen the good, you just need to see the good a lot more, right? I mean, the month of April, the Cubs' offense was outstanding, and that's in bad weather. They were scoring 6-7 runs a game and, you know, wind blowing in. So it's there, and you've got some really talented players and some talented guys. It's just got to be consistent at that level, not consistent at the level that it's been, where it's been, you know, the other way. It's definitely there. It's just one of those things that, you know, and it's based on the offense. The offense is the part that's got to pick it up if you're gonna get back in this thing. I think they're 5.5 games back in a wild card, and you know, you need like a week and a half of really good baseball, you know, where you run off 9 of 10, something like that, and then all of a sudden you're right back. You know, you've climbed a few teams and you're right back in the race. But you know, it's tough, and I know, you know, the whole city and everybody, you know, you're looking and you're wondering what's going to happen next. But really, there's been nothing really happened in Major League Baseball yet, right? I mean, nobody's really jumped out there and started making some big moves.
It's crazy to me because I look at the standings. Obviously, the Cubs, as you mentioned, they're in last place, right? They're 6 games under 500. And I was like, hey, if the Cubs can just find a way to get back to 500, they're right there. They'll be a couple of games out of the wild card. Is the concern more so that the pitching is doing well enough and the hitting just can't match up and get where the pitching is? Or is it just when a baseball team's going through a lull like this, the doubt kind of creeps in? I mean, it's been a long time that the Cubs have been struggling on offense, Ron.
Yeah, I definitely think it's an offensive thing. There's no doubt. You look at the numbers and they tell you what it is. You know, hitting with runners in scoring position, one of the worst in the league. Base percentage in the middle of the pack, maybe, you know, towards the back. You know, and at the end of the day, the approach is, you know, batting average for the team is way down. You're in the 220s. So you just have to, It's the offensive side. It's the consistency or lack of on the offensive side. You know, the Cubs are not a team that's going to be a big home run hitting team. They don't have a bunch of, or, you know, 330 home run guys that you can say are going to hit a bunch of bombs. They're a team that needs to slash the ball around the field. They need to put pressure on the opposing team's defense because they have good speed throughout the lineup. So you need to do little things right. You need to situational hit well. And all those things, all the little things that we used to talk about, that's what they need to do well. And right now, they just have not done that well. You know, they've done it well at times, but, you know, doing it well consistently throughout the year, that has not been the case.
I think the depressing element of it has been as you watch these close games and you look at the lineup, there's nobody that jumps out at you as, well, he's going to put the team on his back now. Oh, he's coming up next inning. This is where, and that doesn't mean that guys can't do that, that can't get hot or can't. But maybe having Bellinger come back, if he indeed is coming back for the next series, maybe that changes the way you look at it. But it's just weird, Ron. You don't feel like, I mean, you watch a lot of teams play baseball, and you know, oh, this guy's coming up in the next inning. That's where they're going to start. Their top of the lineup is going to roll over. You don't feel that way with the Cubs.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And probably the only thing the Cubs had that was close to that was Ian Happ's period where he knocked in about 30 runs, and he got hot driving and runs. Some of those were, you know, long balls, but, you know, he was getting the big hit. And, boy, when he started doing that, all of a sudden you could – it was, you know – news. I mean, in the ball club, you could just see the change in the club too, because finally someone's getting that big two-out hit, and he was getting it night after night after night. He was having some great at bats, and you know, now his, you know, I know not the big stat in the league is not RBIs any longer, you know, but I always say it's not a big stat in the league till you have somebody that's knocking in a bunch of runs. Then all of a sudden it's a big stat for your team because you got a guy knocking in 100 plus runs. Well, you know, they need that guy. They need multiple guys to be able to just do that. It doesn't have to be for 3 weeks, but, you know, get hot for some periods of time and make a difference on the field. Here's the big thing. This is not like the Cubs are the only group, Mike, that you could say that about.
Right.
The team that just left town, you don't look at their ball club and go, oh, my, they got a whole boatload of guys. And they're in first place, whole boatload of guys that are just carrying that club, and, wow, there's something. No, they don't have an offense that's doing that. You look at Arizona, who played in the World Series last year. They certainly don't have a group that you go, wow, they've got, you know, this guy's a surefire Hall of Famer. He's just killing the league. Uh-uh. You know, so you can win by hacking and slashing the ball around and putting pressure on the defense, running the bases well, stealing bases, you can win like that. And I'll say this, if you situational hit along with that, you're going to win a lot of games. You really will, because teams just don't do that well.
So it feels like, at least to me, as I'm interpreting, Jameson Taillon, in his recent comments, sounds like a guy who's on his way out of town, kind of pitching on borrowed time in a Cubs uniform. He's got two more years left on his deal, but teams are interested in him. They're interested in him because he's been so good this season and the back half of last season. Will you be surprised if he's moved? I mean, the Cubs talk about wanting to contend, and he seems to be a pretty key reason why they would be able to either make some kind of miraculous run this year or be a center cut piece of next year's team.
Yeah, no, he's been very good, you know, and that's why they went out and got him. He struggled when he first came back, or first came to the Cubs last year, Marshall, as you're alluding to, and you're correct. He did struggle. They tried to make some changes in what he was doing by teaching him a cutter and making that his prominent pitch. That didn't work out. He went back to the pitches that he throws well, which was more of a slider and a curveball, and that got him through last year, and now this year he has been very good. And this is a guy that we expected that you signed, a really good veteran player that understands the league, that can be a constant, right? That's what you're looking for. And I understand why teams, you know, there's a lot of teams chasing us around right now, scout-wise. You know, and the reason why I know is because a lot of them are my friends, guys that I played with, you know, or played against. And, you know, so there's a lot of teams following us around. And we'll see. That's the nature of business. When you get to be 30 years old plus and you're in this business and your team's not doing all that well, and you're having a good year, you know your name's going to be part of the talk, you know, middle of July. So we'll see what happens with him. It's not as easy to make bigger trades nowadays. For some reason, teams just are more reluctant to do that. I was surprised with all the teams in the race now that the trade deadline action has gotten less than more. Right? I mean, there's teams in this race. We're in a city right now that hasn't been in the race in quite some time, and they haven't made any moves. But, you know, their scouts are all bouncing around, but, you know, they haven't made any moves yet. You'd think the cities that haven't been in it would be a little more, you know, they would be less reluctant to hold back and more like to just let's roll the dice, boys. Let's see. We're in the race. So we'll see what happens this next week and a half.
Convos with Coomer is sponsored by EOC Audio, Chicagoland's leader in audio, video networks, and home automation, EOCAudio.com. So, you know, we were out there for Craig Council's hiring and the news conference, and got to tell you, it was an extraordinary day, and the feeling couldn't have been much better, and now here you are, and they finish up with the Brewers, 8-5 against the Brewers this year, and they've got the 11-game lead on July 26th, is it, today? And, you know, I just remember how we all felt on that day with Craig Council coming over from Milwaukee and how everything was going to change and how, you know, all the good things that were going to happen for the Cubs and the World Series and everything that everyone imagined it was an eventuality. Do we feel differently about that? I'm not blaming Craig Council. I've been defending him because we get a lot of people who think it's his fault that guys can't hit with runners in scoring position. And, you know, the seven games since the break were awful in terms of doing that, Ron. I mean, collectively not hitting and all, you know, the pitching was great as it has been, but when you're whatever it was, 7-39 with runners in scoring position, 179 over that stretch, it's really hard to figure out how to make a difference. What did we miss in retrospect? Why didn't the Brewers suffer more? Why, you know, they traded two pitchers away as well. I don't know how they've managed to do what they've done and how this has happened to the Cubs.
Well, I think when you look at this, Milwaukee has had a winning, you know, chemistry for quite some time, right? We know that. Since 17, they have been right at either making the playoffs or right at it every year. And I don't think that just goes away. I really don't. I think you create that culture. Pat Murphy was a big part of that. He wasn't brought in, you know, one day here this offseason. He was a big part of that culture. Along with Counts, and they, those two are really close friends and have known each other since college. You know, Counts played for him. So that culture is not going to go away. So you knew Milwaukee was going to be okay. How they were going to get through losing their two starting pitchers and not having them throw, and they were dominant pitchers, Burns and Woodward, you know, they've gotten through that. To me, the other thing that you can look at is when you know, probably the best time, it is the best time in Cubs history, was starting in the Joe Maddon era when, you know, in 14, I got here and was watching his team. Joe got here in 15 and said, we're going to look to go to the World Series. Well, it didn't happen overnight. And the Cubs then win the following year. Then they continue to play good quality baseball. I really believe for a manager that's not part of an organization, You know, it takes a while for you to, one, get your tentacles into every part of this team and their systems and to get it the way you want it. That's not an easy thing. That's one. And two, you know, this team has had its struggles here as of late. And, you know, trying to change all of that and get guys to doing things you want, it takes some time. And I think we've just seen some inconsistencies this year. with it. And it hasn't totally changed yet. And we'll see if that change can happen. You know, I think Counts has a great track record. So, you know, that just doesn't happen. I can promise you that. He's a big, big reason Milwaukee was in this year after year. And now he's going to bring that to the Cubs. But it just doesn't happen overnight. You know, you know, there's been a lot going on here. And he's trying to make some adjustments to help this team win. And I just don't think it's not the snap of a finger, Mike.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I look at Craig Counsell as like he was supposed to be someone who took them to the next level of the team. I mean, I'm certainly that's what Cubs ownership and the front office was thinking when they
got him.
Maybe
they still believe that. Maybe he's still.
I think so. That's my point.
Yeah.
When, you know, you look at the teams that have won here, the head coach or the manager that has done that and they've won a World Series, you know, Q didn't win his first year. Mike Ditka didn't win his first year. Yeah. You know, I mean, you're talking about people that Phil Jackson probably had the best player that ever play a team sport on the planet, and they didn't win their first years. You know, so it takes some time to get the ball rolling the way you want it to roll, and then you got to fill in the pieces that make it, you know, fit the way you want it to go, right? And I think right now you're in that beginner stage of that. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, that completely makes sense. I wonder if that can happen this season with them, like I said, being six games under 500. And it's like you go into the month of September and you're either within striking distance or you're not.
Right.
You know, you're with either within, you know, three or four games of whatever you're chasing with less teams than they have now between them and that goal, or you're not. You look around the league, Ron, and who do you think's the most difficult team for them to catch in that wild card race? I mean, Atlanta's falling back. They only have a one-game lead for that first wild card spot right now. The Mets and the Padres have been hot.
They've been hurt now too. They've had two big injuries.
Right.
So they're really banged up right now, just as of the last day and a half. So they're going to be scuffling themselves. This wild card team thing, I think the way you look at this, when you're five games out and you got two plus months to go, you look in the mirror. That's who you look at. Now, if you roll the clock forward a month plus, now you got to start doing the math of, wow, we got to climb five teams. And, you know, just because we win six in a row doesn't necessarily mean we gain a bunch of games, because somebody ahead of us could have won five out of six and we gain a game. You know, so right now you can look in the mirror. In a month from now, you got to start doing math of, who do we got to climb, you know, five groups. So that's where it makes it tough. But right now, it's time to look in the mirror, you know, and take care of your own business.
Ron, when last we saw Hector Neris, it didn't go great, but that was his 38th appearance on Wednesday. And I guess the way it works is if he appears in 60 games, then his option, he has a player option for next year at $9 million. So you basically have 21 more times to use him. I don't know that you're able to trade a reliever with only 21 more times to use him, because that contract goes with him. And I'm not saying they're trying to trade him, but I also don't think they're trying to pay him next year. He's 34 years old. I just think that the reality of different contractual issues will eventually kick in here, too, as we near the end of the season.
That could. You know, I've heard that. I heard that that's part of his deal.
Yeah.
And good for him. You know, there's going to be teams out there that – I know there are teams out there that are looking, you know, for relief help. I mean, every team is looking for pitching. That's, you know, usually always the thing come the deadline. So it all depends on how, you know, how close teams are and what they want. But I understand that, you know, options and player options and trade options, all those things, you know, come into play when you think a guy is a very tradable guy, and you have to look at some, you know, a lot of things. It's not just one thing that you look at. So we'll just have to see. You know, talking about individual players, I don't like doing that.
Sure.
I've experienced the deadline for myself multiple times, you know, where I was a candidate to be traded. Then I was traded at the deadline, and it was a big day for me. It was one of the best days in the world, because the Twins traded some veterans to the Dodgers. Well, I was the guy going the other way as the young player going to the big leagues, and hell, I didn't care what happened with the Dodgers. I was just glad to get the heck out of there and be in the big leagues, and I get a chance now to show that I can play at that level. So, you know, there's a lot that goes on to it, but the deadline, it's odd. As I was an older player, I remember in 98, I was talked about coming to Chicago to come to the Cubs. You know, the next year I was, you know, a guy that was talked about coming, you know, going to different teams. So it happens. You learn as a baseball player, you know, if you're doing pretty well, look at it as, well, at least I'm doing good enough where teams want me.
Yeah.
So that's a positive.
Yeah. There's always a bright side.
Yeah, you gotta look at it that way, Mike.
You're the best, buddy. Thank you, pal. Great catching up.
Boys, you guys have a great weekend. We are going to have one hell of a weekend here in good old Kansas City.
Oh, boy.
Get some barbecue and whatnot.
Yeah, that's what
we will do that. You got to do that here, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Boy. All right.
Have a great weekend.
Ron. God bless. Yep. Enjoy yourself. We got the great Dan Hampton. The Hall of Famer joins us next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Chicago Bears defensive lineman.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
And Dan Hampton's ability to play with pain has made him one of the most respected and most feared defensive tackles in the NFL. The man known as Danimal, number 99, Dan Hampton of the Chicago Bears, doesn't have to look hard to find admirers throughout the NFL.
Everybody always looks at how he rushes the passer. That's great, he does. But he plays run so well. He might play the run as good as anybody, any lineman.
And he's capable of dominating a football game. In other words, if you get him in that situation enough and you can't get help on him, then he's going to kind of take over the game.
He's a large human being. You know, he's tall, he's strong, and he's intense. He's a good guy, too. Good old country boy.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Marshall Harris kind enough to sit in today, and we are delighted to welcome in the Hall of Famer, Dan Hampton. Big, big Hall of Fame coming up for him, his teammate, Steve McMichael, going into the Hall of Fame. Dan, good morning. How are you?
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Hey, Mully, Marshall, you guys are sounding great as usual. And Dustin really went all out on that intro.
Yeah, that's the great Brandon Fryer. Dustin just makes orders. That's about it. But Brandon does the hard work. Steve, getting into the Hall of Fame, you know, I saw an interview with Misty again yesterday, and she basically said that the Hall of Fame has given them more time together, that this, what's going on, has helped him fight for his life through this horrible disease, ALS, and that you know, he wanted nothing more than to go to the actual ceremony, which, of course, he's unable to do, but it's extraordinary what this has meant for him. I'm sure for you, Dan, everything you guys went together, winning a Super Bowl together. What can you tell us about what this fight has been like from your perspective?
Well, you've done a wonderful job of kind of, you know, laying it out in the sense that it's an insidious, horrible disease. And I was over there a couple of days ago, And even though Steve has kind of leveled off, you know, there hasn't been as much attrition and atrophy and all the different things. But still, you know, the real insidious part of this is he can still, you know, his mind is still sharp. And when I go, I invariably, it's a one-sided conversation, but I tell old stories about there we were in St. Louis playing the Cardinals on a preseason night. And you can tell by looking in his eyes that, you know, obviously he understands implicitly. And that's what's so awful about this disease. The body is basically, you know, it's useless. And the point that, you know, Misty made about them having more time together, there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, so many people that if you're afflicted with this, you know, there's options. And maybe they want to just, you know, end it. But Steve has been unbelievably strong and resilient. And next Saturday, he will be inducted into, you know, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, the reason I'm on today is to talk a little bit about the fact that the Ohio ALS Foundation has put together an amazing gala event. It's called the Mongo Hall Ball. Right. You can go online, Mongo Hall Ball. Buy tickets. You get to come, and McMahon and Richard Dent and hopefully, you know, Julius Peppers and Devin Hester are scheduled to be there. It's at the Starr County Fairgrounds, which is about a mile away, mile south of the actual Hall of Fame. But the point being is, it's to raise money. And I guess the best part of the evening is the Chicago Six, the band that I was in with Steve McMichael. We're going to play. Otis Wilson and I will take the stage, and we'll play for an hour and a half. We're going to have a huge video tribute to Steve and his time with the band, you know, almost twice. You know, think about this, Molly. I mean, the poor guy, 14 years of the NFL and then 8 years of the WWF and then 12 years of the Chicago. I mean, finally making it to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. What a journey. What a man.
Yeah, and this is going to be quite the event. Again, this is on August 2nd. It's from 6 to 10. It's Mongo's Hall Ball, A Night to Fight ALS. You mentioned the Starr County Fairgrounds in Canton, right by the Hall of Fame. And this is going to be a great chance to see some of the great players in Bears history, everybody coming out for this. And you mentioned the band playing. There's going to be all-you-can-eat food, a four-hour open bar. You know, it is just the sort of thing that everybody should try to attend, try to get out to. And even if you can't get out there, you can feel free to go ahead and check out talgreeter.com. That's T-A-I-L greeter, G-R-E-E-T-E-R.com. Just search Mongo. You can contribute. You can sponsor. I mean, this is going to be like a night to remember for anybody that has been a Bears fan and that can appreciate the greatness of that defense, that Super Bowl winning team, and everything that you guys meant to the city. Dan, obviously, you're a huge part of it, but Steve, next to you on that line, and I think everybody, whenever we talk about the greatest defenses ever put together, it starts with that.
Well, you're so kind. And think about this, you know, the fact that Steve making it to the Hall of Fame, there will be three of the four defensive linemen on that Super Bowl team are in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Unheard of, you know, unmatched throughout the league. But the funny thing is, probably the most notorious one of the entire defensive line, William the Refrigerator Perry, was the most famous of all of those guys. I mean, you got to shake your head when you think about it. But those were some glorious times. And hey, as you guys so aptly describe it on a daily basis, maybe we're getting close to finding, you know, that recipe for success. Hopefully it comes pretty quick this year.
Dan, just to give people an idea of what this is like, what next week will be like. I mean, you were inducted yourself back in 2002. Can you kind of walk people through what the ceremony is, especially when you've got so much Bears love that's going to be out there, as you mentioned, both Julius Peppers, Devin Hester, and of course, Mongo all being honored. What do you think the atmosphere is going to be like?
Well, obviously, you know, with the fact that Steve has been afflicted with this horrible, horrible disease, that's going to create a vibe that, you know, has the Hall of Fame has never had to deal with, and we're going to see how all that goes out. But at some point, you have to realize that what Deacon Jones told me some 20-something years ago, he said, hey, this is the granddaddy of awards banquets. And you know that. When you're on the stage, there's no other award banquet that you could ever attend that would mean more to you. Because, hey, let's be real. When you're 9 years old and you're playing, you know, in the dirt and playing football, blah, 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 yeah, I'm going to be in Canton. So it doesn't happen. And to see someone like Steve McMichael finally, after almost 40 years of being retired, finally be able to break through and be named a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's, you know, obviously it's a huge, huge, you know, honor, but in your heart of hearts. And that's why I think Steve has lasted so long. There's a certain, what would you call it? Justification that you say, hey, all I did to prepare, to train, to beat myself into a pulp on a, you know, daily basis all those years, well, it's finally paid off. So, you know, when I was over there the other day, I was telling him, you know, it's unlike anything you've ever seen. You know, and for the folks that's never been, they have a parade on the Saturday morning, which will be a week from tomorrow, and they have banquets, you know, the night before, the night after, all these different things. But the granddaddy of it all is the noon ceremony where they actually do the induction. And I was there, you know, of course, you know, a number of times, you know, Richard, Jimbo Colbert, other players. But obviously this one holds a special spot.
He's Dan Hampton, Pro Bowler at every position on the defensive line. Think about that. Unbelievable. Over the course of his career, Hall of Famer. And one of the great ever Bears. And Dan, I think as we, you know, think about you playing at this event, you know, you a great musician, a guy that legend has it, you know, you had an injury when you were a kid and you were in the high school band when the coach came over and was like, what are you doing, son? Get over here onto the football field. you're just a large corporation of a man. And you have always been a great musician and always stuck with that. But who knows? You know, maybe if you hadn't grown out of that band uniform, we'd never know how wonderful a player you were.
Yeah, I could have been going around the country with a Grateful Dead.
Wow.
I mean, ungrateful. But, yeah, you know, the funny thing in this band obviously started long ago with Walter Payton as our drummer. Dave Duerson played horn. Some hockey guys were wonderful guys. But anyway, we've had a lot of different incarnations. But Steve was such a big part of it, and Otis doing the Motown. So it's a hugely entertaining, you know, action-packed show. And we have a lot of songs, some parodies, like All in All, It's Just Another Ditka Bad Call. And, you know, all these different songs. So anyway, everybody has a hoot when they come, and we look forward to it. Again, go online. It's Mongo's Hall Ball. Mongo Hall Ball. And you can get all the information. It'll be the place to be in Canton, Ohio, in the world of pro football. The night after the Chicago Bears play their first preseason game.
Yeah, that'll be something, too. Hopefully the Bears live up to their history at some point or other this season. Should be a lot of fun, that new quarterback in town. Dan, it's a delight to talk to you. We appreciate you coming on. You're a great friend to Mongo. You're a great Hall of Famer and a great friend to all of us. We appreciate it, buddy.
You're too kind. God bless you, and go Bears!
There we go. That is Go Bears from Dan Hampton, the Hall of Famer himself. That's great stuff. Just go to talgreeter.com. That's talgreeter.com. Search Mongo, and you'll figure out how to get your tickets and how to get you can contribute, whatever it might be. And I was watching the news yesterday, and I heard Misty say that she's going to go to the Hall of Fame representing Steve, and then she will be back in time for she'll have the bust with her, and she'll be back in time for him to be able to watch the Hall of Fame ceremony, and he'll have his yellow jacket and the bust of the Hall of Fame and the whole bit, and they're apparently going to have a massive block party back.
As they should.
Yes. Yeah. It's just great. It's great to see this happen for him. And Dan Hampton, man. I mean, I'll tell you something about Dan Hampton. You see the man and you say, oh, my God, that's what a Hall of Famer looks like. He's just one of the greatest Bears ever. And that was one of the greatest defenses in NFL history. And it's great to see Steve McMichael get into Hall of Fame, and Devin Hester gets into the Hall of Fame, and Julius Peppers also gets into the Hall of Fame. So that's wonderful. It's wonderful to have that many Bear connections. Of course, the Bears lead the league, the NFL, in Hall of Famers. Wonderful stuff. All right. We've got much more for you. 312-644-6767, Mullion Hall with Marshall Harris here on the Score.
Luis Robert out there, it's feeling like more likely that he stays than goes, not guaranteeing it. Dodgers, Mariners, others should be interested. It's a difficult one because obviously he's been a bit inconsistent. He's had that injury situation, yet he is a supreme talent, one of the best talents in the game. So, you know, there's going to be a divergence of opinion on the actual value there. And he's got 3 years to go, including the two option years with the club. $20 million, so it's a club option. So,
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. Marshall Harris in this morning for David. And that is our guy, John Heyman. And he was on the Bleacher Report podcast he does, and he talked about Luis Robert. And by the way, scratch off the Mariners, right? Because they made a move for Tampa's a Rosarena. They've made the move for the outfielder, so he's not going there. It sounds like the White Sox have a much higher opinion of Luis Robert than maybe some of the teams that want to trade for him. So I think it's going to be hard for him to go. And I wonder, Marshall, does that mean it's going to be hard, given the way they view Gerrit Crochet, is it going to be hard to trade for him if, as Heyman said, apparently he's got a plan for how he's going to play, which would include getting paid if he was going to play into October?
I wrote on the Twitter, the New York Post, that Gerrit Crochet has a plan, and I don't blame him for his plan. I don't know who saw that, but I'll explain it in a little while. But I do not blame him for his plan, but might throw a bit of a monkey wrench into the trade possibility for Gerrit Crochet. I mean, he's still going to be highly sought after, big commodity, could be the best player traded. It's been fantastic this year. So Gerrit Crochet is really an incredible story. As a guy who pitched 12 innings last year, he's already up to 111 innings now, and he is not only willing, the plan with the White Sox and the plan going forward with any team, stay in rotation, keep pitching. He feels more comfortable pitching in the rotation, not going back to the bullpen, not worrying about the innings limit. He kind of hinted at that to me at the All-Star game when I saw him last week. He's not that worried about the innings. It's apparently starting versus relieving. And this is a guy who had Tommy John a couple years ago, certainly has an injury question, as do all pitchers now in Major League Baseball. They all have injury questions. So anyway, his plan is to keep pitching on the regular rotation, whether he stays with the White Sox or gets traded. But if he gets traded, and of course the White Sox, we know they're not going to the playoffs, so this doesn't really apply to them. I've lost 10 in a row, by the way, on that. The plan is that if anybody wants to start him in October, he needs to have an extension first. I know it's unusual. I know you don't see that, but I do not blame him one bit. I mean, this is a guy, fantastic pitcher, number one draft choice by the White Sox. They hit that one correctly. Give them credit for that.
Wow.
Yeah. It's bombshell type stuff, right?
Does that change the way you view him in terms of being able to trade him?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because if you can't find a partner that's willing to give him a contract.
That's it.
You know, he's not going to pitch out of the bullpen. He wants to remain a starter. He's protecting himself because he's still looking for that first big payday, aka an extension throughout his controlled years through arbitration. Yeah, if you're the White Sox, it may make more sense to wait until the offseason to trade him. You can monitor his innings and everything else, and if you want to shut him down early, however you want to do it, you can do that as he's a member of the Chicago White Sox. Moving him to other team with that many stipulations just seems like it's going to be a headache, right?
I mean, here's the problem. The problem is the reason that he's such a great trade piece is because he has manageable years, right? So, in other words, if he's making, you know, whatever it is, $800,000 this year, you're getting an all-star power lefty for less than $1 million. The value is beyond belief. That's why you make the deal. Now, if you want him to pitch, though, it's going to cost you. Whatever the value of that contract is no longer the value of the contract. You're now dealing with a guy that wants to get paid in order to continue to pitch. And listen, I'm kind of with John Heyman. That's his right. If that's what he wants to do, that's fine. That could mean, again, if the White Sox want the moon for Luis Robert, and already one of the people looking at him scratched them off,
kicked
the
tires, and was like, I think we're better off going another
direction.
We're okay.
We're going a different direction. And I love Luis Robert. Could both those guys not be traded? Is it becoming increasingly likely that they won't be traded?
I could see that. But the thing is, and you talk about like the payroll, like, yeah, $800,000, but he's going to make more than $800,000 next year because arbitration is a thing.
And, yeah. No, just saying, like, if he wants the money up front, that damages, because arb years are arb years. If you're buying them out, you don't want to pay top dollar to do so.
No, you don't have to pay top dollar, but you can, you know the negotiation. It's like, how many free agent years are we going to get as part of this extension, right? And not only that, but if you do keep him, this is why I'm okay with the White Sox keeping him and trading the offseason. Now he's got a chance to get, I don't know, 200 innings or close to it. And now, hey, look, he's pitched a full season as a starter, and his health is good. And because you're right now, we're already in uncharted territory with Garrett Crochet.
Yeah.
He's never pitched this many innings, period.
I know. It's something else. You know, listen, there's still a lot of guys to be traded. There's still a lot of work to be done. We're going to bring in Steve Stone. We'll talk to Stoney next, and we'll ask him how extensive will this trade-off be? Is it damaged by this latest piece of information? And frankly, what does he think about the Sox winning enough games? They've lost, what is it now, 11 in a row?
11 in a row. 0-for since the All-Star break.
Wow. And 0-for since before the All-Star break.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Stoney next. It's Mully and Haw with Marshall Harris on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.